Welcome to TechCast, the podcast that quenches curiosity, powered by Q&A Markham. TechCast, where we deep dive into the exciting world of technology, bringing you the latest trends, innovations, and thought-provoking discussions. Join us on this exciting journey as we explore the boundless possibilities of technology.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Women at Work podcast series. My name is Swapna Subramani, and I'm your host for today. This series, powered by Q&A, was announced on International Women's Day, and it really aims to look at the challenges and motivations of women at work, just like me and you. Today, we have a very special guest with us. She is in the legal field, which is primarily male-dominated, but she has made it and empowered women. Her name is Radhika Singhal, and she is the Associate Director Legal at Nielsen IQ for Eastern Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Welcome, Radhika. It's a pleasure to have you here today with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for making me be here.
Great. So this series is all about having women like you who are in various diverse sectors, and to like bring them under one common platform and discuss the challenges, the triumphs, which we all face on a daily basis. Right. But we really want to use this platform of the Women at Work series to bring some of these out, and hopefully it's going to be an inspiration to everybody who is hearing us.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit about your journey in a male-dominated field, if I'm not mistaken. Legal and law seems a very male-dominated field. So tell us about your journey. What made you choose this field, and what has been the highlights of your journey so far?
Okay, so I'll start from my childhood, because it's a very funny story. So I was in my 10th standard, and I was studying in Dehradun in a hostel, and we had this career fairs, where people would come from different parts and different companies, and they would kind of help you choose the right path for you. So they gave me like this questionnaire which had like 10 questions around what do you like to do, what is your passion, what kind of hobbies you are, and on the basis of those 10 questions they kind of tell you as to what are the suitable fields for you in the future, because it is also the time to choose whether you want to go in science or you want to go in commerce or you want to take up maths. And obviously the parents are like, become a doctor, become an engineer, but like you said, nobody thinks that a woman can be a lawyer. Nobody has that perspective. And especially during my time, which is like almost 15 years back.
Correct.
And the funniest part was, when my results came, I had only one option which came in, which was a lawyer. Like, the legal profession suits me, yes.
So you were like made for it.
Yes. So I was like, oh wow, because I love arguments. And my dad studied law. He never pursued it. But he did study it, and he's like a lot into politics, and he would always talk about cases at home, like just discuss how the society is perceiving the cases and
so
how it's going.
Got your interest from an early
age? It got me interested, and then I think that that inherent quality of just saying no to everything and saying what I feel is correct. So I think that kind of helped.
Okay.
So that's like one of the one of the thoughts that was put in my mind, that maybe law is the thing for me.
Okay.
Like, this is what I'm meant for.
Okay.
And accordingly, I chose the subjects in class 11th and 12th. And then it just came naturally to me. I just knew by the end of my school that, law is what I can do. Anyways, medical was not my cup of tea. I hate biology and chemistry. So this is just organically, I would say, it just came organically to me.
Okay.
So from there, I applied for, various entrance exams. I got through, two, three of the institutes, but my dad during that time was like, we don't want to send you very far away.
Yeah.
Can you choose some university which is closer to house so that we can also come and visit you? My grandfather was not, very happy about me going into law. Like, my dad had studied
so
law.
Always little bit blocks from the beginning.
For sure, right. Yeah. Because they were not, firstly, I was like going to be the first official lawyer who actually would probably be practicing it as well and just not studying it. And secondly, a girl being a lawyer and the society pressure, because I hail from a different kind of era, and the marriage prospects later, if you're already a lawyer, then people will just judge you that, you speak a lot, you have your own opinions.
Yeah.
So it was quite a challenge from the beginning.
Which a man wouldn't have faced.
Which a man definitely would not have faced. Yeah,
right.
Because for a man, it's like they can study law, do business after that. Like, they have so many options.
Correct.
For a girl, I think it's more like they have to be very clear about their thoughts and how the society is going to judge them. Like, I would say it's like an unbiased, stigma.
Yeah.
It's like sex stereotype. Like you,
correct.
The society has those thoughts. Like if you're a woman, you should probably be a doctor. You should probably be doing something with like cooking, or you should probably be, you know, doing painting, creative.
Yeah.
Like they don't.
It's
really
like an unsaid rule.
That is
difficult to explain, but it's there.
It's there. It's like the perception.
Yeah.
I don't think it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is just how women have been kind of, you know, perceived from the starting, and it just comes naturally to all the people like that.
Yeah,
so that's where my challenge started. Though my parents were quite supportive of me, my mother, my father, they were like, okay, go ahead, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But to explain it to my extended family that why I'm being a lawyer was kind of a challenge.
Mini battles.
Yes, especially because I come from a small city, Saharanpur, and you know, that time it was not very good. You know, women were doing law and they were doing those nice things which a girl should be doing.
Nice things.
Yeah.
And so, what about at the workplace? Like once you did graduate, you know, as a lawyer, was it difficult to like find that initial break as well as a lawyer in a firm? And then of course you've had like a, you know, wonderful career journey since. But how was that into like entering that?
So I did my graduation and I kind of for 1 year I was looking for jobs and it was quite difficult to be honest to find that first break because mostly lawyers, either you have that, you know, family support where your relatives are lawyers, they're in that field, they can give you that push, which I did not obviously have. I belong to a different background totally. And then secondly, it's like girls, again, I would say it's a stigma, like a delegation bias, we call it in our language, which is basically when you see a woman, like if you go for an interview, even like if there's a HR recruiter and he likes one woman and one boy, they would always think, you know, after 6 months, maybe the girl will get married, will shift to some other city, or maybe she'll get, you know, pregnant, she'll start a family. So even a recruiter, if, you know, two people are at the same footing, like if they like them equally, if it's a man or a woman, they would still probably prefer unconsciously a man because it gives them more stability in the future.
Right.
Like they don't have to, you know, they're more confident that the boy will stay, especially at that, you know, 24, 22 years of age. So I did face a lot of issues and challenges, like because courts, they would prefer boys. They didn't want to, you know, back in India, they didn't want to hire a fresher girl and just, you know, coming and walking because girls are perceived, at least at my time, were perceived to be doing more like behind the desk job, like reviewing contracts, doing paperwork, but they would not imagine a girl actually going to the court and, you know, fighting a case in front of the judge. So it was quite a journey for me. I somehow managed to work with an NGO for like 6 months because I wanted to go for my master's. Like I was sure about that. So I had applied for my master's, you know, admissions and everything. So I only had like those 9 months, which I had to kind of pass.
Okay.
So I first 6 months, I didn't have a job, to be honest. Like nobody was ready to give me a job. And it was quite a difficult. And this is after me doing a lot of internships during my college time, like intern with the additional solicitor, doing internship with the best of law firms. And still it was kind of difficult to kind of make my mark.
Okay.
I did my master's, which was a blessing. I went to UK, did my master's from University of Bristol. And that is when I think the whole perspective changed. So when I came back, I was like in a better position to negotiate what kind of work I want because I had that international degree.
To position yourself.
To position myself. And also boys or men do not generally go straight after their graduation for a master's degree. They generally stick around and do
work for a couple, of years.
So for me, I think I had that advantage of that international, you know, stamp on my CV when I came back.
Right.
So then I started working with Ernst & Young.
Okay.
So I worked with them for 3 years.
Mm.
Again, it was, so EY is a very, you know, the cutthroat competitive workplace. Like you, everyone is always against each other doing the best for themselves. So it was like, you have to be like prepared to mentally work till late at night. You have to be prepared to be
to
in the office.
Yourself.
To prove yourself. Because these are like the initial years. And like that one year of founding yourself and let people know who you are. So there were like weekends I was just sitting in the office and I was working. There were like nights we were sitting in the office. And working. Having said that, EY has that culture because, you know, all my partners and everyone, they would also be supporting there and sitting there and working with you. So I think from there the journey kind of eased
down a little bit.
Yes.
And how many years now at Nielsen IQ?
I will complete 8 years in May.
Amazing, yes. Amazing. And how is the growth journey with the Nielsen IQ been?
So with Nielsen IQ, it's been quite nice.
Because you have a very big territory that you manage.
We
as
do.
Well.
So we have like around 29 countries under my, you know, expertise. So basically, it was one chief general counsel and in his team, he hired me back in 2015, 2016. Mm. And it was only the two of us and we were managing like 28 countries.
Okay.
So for 4 years, it went on like that.
Okay.
Then on the way, it's been very, very supportive. Like, you know, he's amazing. I think it also depends on the, you know, part of the world you're working at. So
correct.
People have different, you know, kind of thinkings and thoughts and everything.
Yeah.
So it's been great like that. Okay. After 4 years working at Nielsen IQ, we hired another person,
okay.
which is also a girl.
Okay.
So she works out
great.
Of India.
Yeah.
Then we got two more, you know, employees in our team, which are also girls.
Amazing.
So we have like a team of seven people, out of which five are girls and two are boys.
Nice.
So it's been going great here. Yes.
Great, great. So are there any specific challenges, you know, that you have faced because you're in the legal field that, you know, probably women in some other field wouldn't have faced, like anything that you can think of, or is it like more, you know, common?
So I think the good part about being a lawyer is that you don't need a, you know, specific technique or skill. It's like if your reasoning is correct, if you have the, you know, the logic. You know how to read, I think you can kind of prove a point. The only problem I would say, like not a problem, it was probably my, you know, insecurity. But initially when I started working, I didn't want to be in front of the client. Like I wanted to be behind. I didn't realize that I did all the paperwork, I did all the reading, but I didn't take the limelight because it ultimately went to somebody who was presenting the work.
Right.
So I think the mantra here is that don't be scared. Like if you've prepared something, it's okay to be the face of the, you know, conversation. Just go ahead and just say it out loud. I that's the only, you know, thing I would like to say, and the challenge I think I kind
right.
of, yeah.
Like, so as part of like the legal knowledge that you have you like, you know, used any of that to kind of empower women within your organization or in the wider community, and just like, you know, like self-advocacy kind of a thing? Is there something that, you know, you consciously do?
So we have a speak up program in our organization, and I'm part of like one of the leaders for that particular program. So if there are any kind of integrated cases, or if you know people are not feeling right about certain things, or they want to kind of report anything, so I'm one of the, you know, core member of the committee, so they can come to me and they can speak about it.
Okay.
And we investigate and we kind of, you know, take out protocols and methods. We give these trainings to the people to kind of, you know, be aware and speak up.
Okay.
So yeah, so that is one thing I consciously, you know, try and do, like encourage everyone, if they have an issue, come forward and speak up.
Okay. And yes. And that's the most powerful tool, right? Like,
yes.
we can do as women for women,
right.
is to just you know, help them get the vocabulary,
right.
to kind of self-advocate for themselves and not be scared, and, you know, consider yourself as lesser than, you know, men in
right.
any way,
right.
Is there, so there is like specifically in this region, right, there is a little bit of a challenge around, you know, for women around like maternity, like, I mean, up until for most companies, like
right.
45 days maternity, and, you know, there isn't like enough facilities or resources in the office to make, you know, women returning back from maternity comfortable. Is there something that, you know, you feel is lacking, and, you know, what, you know, what should, as a women community, we start doing about these kind of things, being in this region?
Okay, so first, most important thing, which I also did, ask for flexibility. Don't be, you know, afraid of asking for flexibility. Give that confidence to your, you know, management or your team that, you know, I'm here, I'm going to do the work, but don't let me do it at my pace because I have a small child waiting for me at home.
Yes.
Don't force me, you know, in these particular timings at 9 to 5. Let me be. So this is the first thing I asked from my team, and I was very fortunate to get it because, you know, I was given the flexibility to work at whatever time. I could only go to, you know, I only had to go to office for a few hours, then go back home and work from home. So I think that is the most important thing, like, you know, kind of advocate, be open about the flexibility you need. And I think you should also be okay to take like paid leave. So like you said, it's 45 days because ours is a US company. We have a 60-day policy. And then you can just take like some paid leave. Just don't be scared. Spend those, you know, 3 months and take the paid leave. It's okay. You're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
You'll be back in the system again.
And I think as women, I mean, women are scared as well, right? They're like, what if I come back and there isn't an opening for me, or my position has been filled, or something of sort. So what is the one advice, you know, Radhika, you will give to like aspiring young lawyers who, you know, are watching this podcast, hopefully, and want to be like, you know, 15 years later, I want to be Radhika, and, you know, want to kind of overcome those obstacles, those subtle biases, and those unsaid rules that kind of prevent, you know, young women to kind of be in this field.
So the first thing is stop caring about what people say. Like, stop caring how you're perceived. Don't go on what people want you to become. You do what you want to become. If you feel that law is the field for you, just go for it. Don't you know, see the statistics that there are only 36% of the women and rest are men. It doesn't matter. If you have it in you, I think you will come on the top and you will make it. So I think that is one advice I would like to give to all the, you know, people who would want to be Radhika at one
Go
point.
For it.
Like, just be yourself and just come here, just read, argue, question, you know, be curious. Be curious about things like, why is it done like this? What does the US law say? What does the UK law say? You know, like, just be very curious and open-minded.
And I think that's very important for, I mean, in all fields, right? Like, to be curious, to go get what you want, and to never give up,
Yes, exactly.
Great. So I have a fun segment now. I know we have, you know, went into like deep conversations on, you know, these biases and so on. But a fun segment, just like a rapid fire. So for Radhika, in terms of productivity, early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Same. Desk decor, minimalist or personal jungle?
Personal jungle.
Okay. Your power outfit choice, classic suit or bold statement pieces?
Bold statement pieces. Look at my pink shoes.
Great. I love it. Meeting preferences, in person or virtual?
Depends on whom I'm meeting.
Okay. let's keep that. All right. What's your creative process? Brainstorming sessions or solo ideation?
I like brainstorming. Yes.
Okay. Feedback approach, direct and immediate or structured reviews?
Direct and structured reviews.
Direct and structured. Mix of both. All right. Fair enough. So what's your career development focus? Climbing the corporate ladder or expanding skill sets?
Expanding skill sets.
Okay. Work-life balance strategy. I think I know the answer for this. Strict boundaries or flexible integration?
Flexible integration.
You said that, yeah. Professional development, mentorship or self-discovery?
I think both is important.
Both is important.
I can't choose one, because if I don't have a mentor to guide me, then I won't be able to self-develop.
And do you have some, like, you know, good mentors that you look up to?
I do, like one or two. Okay. I wouldn't say a lot, but yes, I do look up to a few women who've done great.
Quality over quantity.
Quality.
Mentors. Okay. Yes. Personal branding on social media, active engagement or passive presence?
Active engagement.
Okay. Your leadership philosophy, empowering teams or driving results?
I need both.
Okay. She wants it all.
I want it all.
All right. Decision making in high pressure situations, intuition or analysis?
I again go with both.
Both. All right. Okay, this is an interesting one. Responding to sexist remarks, confrontation or correction?
Correction and ignorance sometimes, and then come back with a better scenario.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that was the rapid fire, and you did very well. I think you're, you know, very like a lawyer.
Thank you.
Very precise, you know, in your responses, and, you know what you want. So that is the end of our podcast today, and it was such a pleasure talking to you. And I'm sure, you know, this video and all the videos, you know, hopefully that we're going to produce, the Women at Work series, is going to be hugely inspirational. So I'd like to, you know, really thank you for taking out the time to come in here today and shoot with us, and, you know, talk to us about your journey and your challenges, and yeah, super happy to have done this with you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Keep watching for more and stay tuned.